that loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than he did in this man. Then you'll truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he's given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. Anyone who does not honour the Son is certainly not honouring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself and has granted that same giving life-giving power to the Son. And he's given him authority to judge everyone because he's the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all in the graves will hear the voice of God's Son and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we just want to pray as we come to your word, Lord, that you would speak to us. That the words of Jesus, just as he spoke from then to those leaders who were listening, Lord, that they would reach us freshly as if they were the first time spoken. So that they might strike us to the heart. So that they might unsettle us. So that they might lead us into faith in Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. So my title today is Time to Listen. The last couple of weeks we looked at Time to Worship. You might remember that from John chapter 4. Jesus saying, a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And then last week we looked at how it was time for second chances. And we looked at Peter and how Jesus, with that miraculous catch of fish and his words, he's asking him, do you love me? And his affirmation gave Peter that second chance. Today we're looking at time to listen. Because when it comes down to it, John's Gospel, as the whole Bible is a book full of words. And in fact, what John wants to present to us is not his own ideas about maybe what God is like, or maybe what Jesus is like, but he's constantly telling us this is what he saw, this is what he heard, that this is eyewitness testimony from somebody who spent 3 years in Jesus' pocket, so to speak, following him around really, really closely. But let's start slightly somewhere else. Is my clicker in? Yes. Have you heard the term bucket list? Yeah? One of these, sorry? Yours is huge. Well, you've got a lot to do then, haven't you? You better get on with it. Bucket list is a fairly new term, really. And it means things to do before you die. Things that you really, 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 really want to do before you die. And about, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, in the media, they started making these lists of 50 things to do before you die, 100 things to do before you die, that kind of thing. The phrase bucket list, because I wasn't sure where it came from, it actually comes from kick the bucket. So it's kick the bucket list is what it is. Things to do before you tick the bucket. So I don't know what's on your list, and to be honest, I don't even know what's on my list. But I've done some things which I thought, well, if they were on my bucket list, I think, you know, I've done them. So that's good, isn't it? So here's some things I've done, which might be on your bucket list. So I've ridden an elephant. That's me in the middle. I've held a crocodile. Well, that's my wife, Helen, holding the crocodile, but I did it too. I've fed a giraffe, and I've swum in the tropics with fish and stuff around. So I've done all of that. I don't know if any of that's on your list, but there we go. And also I've done some travelling. So I've seen the Eiffel Tower. I've been up the Eiffel Tower. I've been to the Parthenon in Greece. I've been to the Sydney Opera House. And I've been to the Taj Mahal. I've done all these places. You know, I'm not saying this to show off. I'm telling you what might be on your bucket list. And maybe there could be things you've done that I haven't done. Yeah? Because some of you I know are quite well travelled. I'm always interested to talk to Dot, because I can never predict where Dot's going to go on holiday. You know, she's done all kinds of travels. So where did she go? Was it Antarctica or Arctic? The Arctic. She went to the Arctic. I mean, I don't know anybody else in there, whatever age she is, who's been to the Arctic. I don't know, but it's brilliant. I don't know what's on your bucket list. Maybe it's bungee jumping. Maybe it's skydiving. Maybe it's going into space and experiencing weightlessness. Anybody want to do that? It's getting closer, isn't it, as something which you can actually do. Swimming with sharks. Would you do that? You would. Oh yeah, Jan would do that. Maybe visiting other parts of the globe. Maybe seeing the pyramids in Giza and you know, that Egyptian stuff or the Great Wall of China. You know what's on your what kind of things you would love to do. But out of all the things that we list as things to do, I don't know many people who say, yes, I really want to listen. I want to listen before I die. And especially I don't know many people that say, oh yeah, I really want to listen to Jesus before I die. But from what Jesus says here, this is the conclusion that I came up with, that basically there's only one thing worth having on your bucket list. Oops, sorry. Let me go back. That the one thing you must do before you die, there's only one thing. But the one thing you must do before you die is the one thing you must do, strangely, before you live. Sometimes we use that phrase, what, you haven't done this, or you haven't been there, or you haven't lived. But that's not what I mean. I don't mean to say if you've not ridden the elephant, you haven't lived. It's brilliant, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about something different here. Jesus is talking about something different. He talks about, very often in John's Gospel, the business of living and dying. And central to that, as we're going to see now, is the business of listening to him. See, Jesus says in verse 24 there, right in the middle, he says, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Those who listen to my message. Some people think that Jesus' message is, be nice to everybody. Or be charitable. I think when we do that, we think that, we're starting to read into what Jesus is saying, and he's not really saying that at all. Jesus' message is everything that he's saying about himself, who he is, what he's come to do. He's saying effectively just, people who listen to me. So why listen to Jesus? Jesus would say, you should listen to me because of who I am. There's this picture on the screen of this girl, and I don't think it really made the news over here, but I think it did in America, because she's a student at one of the top universities in America, and she spent a long time carrying around, as you can see, a mattress. Basically, the mattress from her room, from her dormitory. And she did that to make a point. The point being that she said that she was raped by another student and that the university did nothing about it. And so she carried that around to make a point. She went to lectures with a mattress, day after day after day. And actually it started to become a bit of a symbol. Other girls started to carry mattresses around as well. It became a thing. And hence it started to be a bit of a protest. The university could turn around to her and say, why on earth are you carrying that mattress around? We will not let you into lectures if you carry that mattress around. This mattress is a big problem. But that would be foolish, wouldn't it? And that's the whole point. Because the problem isn't actually that she's carrying a mattress into lectures. The problem is she's saying that she and other girls are being raped on campus and the university is doing nothing about it. And in the same kind of way, when Jesus heals this lame man, he starts carrying his mattress around, and people start pointing the finger and saying, he shouldn't be carrying his mattress, or rather, you shouldn't have told him to carry his mattress on a Sabbath. What do you think you're doing? Jesus says, effectively, relax. It's far worse than you think. And he throws this line in, because he says in verse 17, he says, my father's working, my father's always working, and so am I. And just leaves that bombshell to fall. And it is a bombshell for them, because look at what it means to them. He says, the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, telling people to carry the mattress, he called God his father, thereby making himself equal with God. That's why they hated him. That's why they tried to kill him. This was blasphemy. You simply cannot do that. You can't talk about God in that way. So maybe we've misunderstood. Maybe that's not what Jesus meant at all, yeah? Maybe it's very different to that. So, you know, let's have Jesus explain himself. So he does, verse 19. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing, etc., etc. Basically, you see the Father. Yes, I'm talking about God here. What he does, I do. That's good, isn't it? What authority he has, I have. That's good, isn't it? Because he's given me that authority, so I can do everything that God does. I beg your pardon? Sorry? Baking soda? I didn't hear you right there. Surely you're not saying that you're equal with God and you can do all the things that God does, can you? What a stupid thing for any man to go around saying. I mean, men are arrogant at the best of times, but that's really ridiculous. But Jesus is showing them, he's insisting on telling them that he is uniquely like the Father. That this isn't what everybody does, this is him and him alone. And he starts saying things like, you know, here's this work, right? This healing thing. The Father loves the Son, shows him everything he's doing. The fact that the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man, then you'll truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. Does he do that? Does Jesus prove his word? Yes, he does. I've used this picture a couple of times, because that's an old-fashioned picture of Lazarus coming out of his grave. Jesus raising him from the dead. And I've pointed out before, I love the guy who's holding his nose, because they always remark on that in the story. He's been dead for 4 days, he'll stink. Don't open that grave, Jesus. We'd much rather have a dead man in there than a smelly living man out here, thank you. So these great claims that Jesus is making for himself, he's backing up by what he does. And that is why he would say, therefore, we need to listen to him. We can't just bat him away as someone who told us to go around being charitable, as some great moral teacher. Because he went around saying this kind of thing. And either it's as standless as the Jews felt, or he was telling the truth. So the starting point for us is to listen to Jesus, because of who he is. The Son of the Father. The second thing is really looking at what happens when we listen to Jesus. He says, those who listen to my message and believe in God have eternal life. They'll never be condemned for their sins. They've already passed over from death into life. Eternal life is one of these great themes of the Bible. It keeps coming back to us. And I've said before, I think, that so often we think in terms of time, that this is about time. You know, I live for, going to live for probably 70, 80, maybe 90 years, perhaps. And eternal life, well, that just goes on forever. But there's so much more to it than that. This is a kind of life that I've never had before, a kind of life I've never experienced before. This is life associated with God in all of his fullness. In fact, the fact that Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, starts to give us a sense of what that life then really means and what it's about. But anyway, here's a film. John can probably again tell me what that is. Yeah, everyone can tell me what that is. Maybe they can't, John. Do you want to help them? The Sixth Sense. It is a really good film. If you've not seen it, a very good film. I don't want to give away the twist. Who has seen The Sixth Sense, by the way? Yeah, two, you see. Great film. This kid, his acting it is fantastic. He's just brilliant. But he has this line that starts to become the key to the film, where he whispers to his dad there, played by Bruce Willis on the right, and he says to him, I see dead people. That's the famous line from the film, I see dead people. I'm not going to really go into what that means in the film. It's not a horror film, but it's just really good, really clever. But as Jesus stands there that day and he talks, he could say the same thing. He could say, I see dead people. He talks about, in verse 25, the time is coming, it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The dead hearing his voice and living. Now that's very strange, apart from the fact that this kind of life that Jesus is talking about is not a life that we are born into. We all have a life. We all have biological life. Hands up if you're not alive today. Nigel's 50-50, he's not too sure. But the life Jesus is talking about is another kind of life. In fact, in the Greek language that John was writing his gospel in, it's a completely different word that John uses. And it's to separate those two ideas. that what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about life is a kind of life we've never had. But when we hear his voice, those who listen live. They receive that life. You might say we're as good as dead now, but with Jesus we are as good as alive and living forever. Let me put it slightly differently. And let me introduce you to the newest member of our family. Cute factor. A million. So this is Luna. And Luna's 9 weeks old. And we picked her up on Friday morning. And she's lots of fun. But when we picked her up, she moved. She was living with her breeder. She's now living with us. She's passed from her breeder to us. I've gone online. I've done this thing on the computer to change the keepership of the dog. So she now belongs to us. She's not waiting for the day when she belongs to us. She is ours. And in the same way then, Jesus says, those who listen to his message and believe in God, they've already passed from death into life. I didn't know I was dead, but Jesus says I am, and I have passed from death into life because of listening to Jesus and believing him. I have a new home. I didn't even spot it when I moved. But I have a new home because I've gone from death into life. I have a new keeper. A new master. I've gone from death into life. That's what happens when we listen to Jesus. Third bit. Why we must listen to Jesus. He has this phrase, and he uses it actually three times, I think, in this passage, when he says, "I tell you the truth." So it's there in verse 19. "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself." Verse 24, "I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message." Verse 25, "I assure you," actually is, "I tell you the truth," again. And in the Greek it says, "Amen, amen, I say to you." That's Jesus is saying. And it's like a way of saying, now listen up. I'm giving it to you straight. This is it, in a nutshell. Get this. And what is he telling us in a nutshell? He's telling us the truth. He's telling us things that we need to listen and pay attention to. And the thing that he says, which is, to be honest, quite extraordinary in the first part, is in verse 22. He says, "In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he's given the Son absolute authority to judge." And then just to confirm that that is Jesus himself he's talking about and not somebody else, it says in verse 30, "I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me." We need to listen to Jesus because he has authority to judge. He is the one who's going to judge us. And judge us by what? Well, if you're looking at verse 29, you'll see it says that the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son. They'll rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. So how does Jesus judge? Well, if you've done good, you experience eternal life. If you've continued in evil, you experience judgment. So there we have it. If you're a good person, you go to heaven, and if you're not a good person, you don't. Is that it? Because that's what people tend to think. But I'm not sure that's what Jesus is getting at. Partly because, as I put on the screen, there's a slightly different understanding of what goodness is. Verse 22, God has given the Son absolute authority to judge so that everybody will honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Anyone who doesn't honour the Son is certainly not honouring the Father who sent him. Now, God surely counts honouring him as a good thing and dishonouring him as a bad thing, doesn't he? The cross is a demonstration of people failing to do what Jesus just said. They didn't put him on the cross to honour him. They put him on the cross to disgrace him and shame him. And so again, we have a choice. Either we are agreeing with that verdict, or we're going to honour the Son. So which one is it? Either we think Jesus went too far and he was talking rubbish, making himself equal with God. How stupid. Madman. Crazy man. Maybe he was deliberately leading us up the garden path. Or just maybe he was telling us the truth, in which case we need to honour him. But you see, God honours him. The Father honoured the Son. He raised him from the dead. Or maybe Jesus did what he said he would do anyway, and that is give life to whomever he wants, including himself. Because he said of himself, I've got authority to lay down my life and authority to take it up again. If Jesus is the Son of God or the Son of Man, because he uses both phrases here, then why should we be astonished at him judging? He has proved himself true. The Father said he would show him how to do greater things than healing a man, and he did. He raised the man, and then he raised himself. Sounds like he keeps raising the bar, doesn't it? So that's why we should listen to Jesus. Why we must listen. Because actually, our eternity rests on it. Everybody will rise again, is what Jesus is saying. But some of us will rise to eternal life, and some of us will rise to judgment. And I know which one of those I'd rather be on. So Jesus tells us then, he says, listen and believe. And he has this phrase that again keeps cropping up. He says, the time is coming, indeed it's here now. There's no time like the present, as they say. Because if you hear Jesus' voice, then today you can go from one to the other. You realise he's speaking to you, he's talking to you. You can cross from death to life. This week in the news, there's been three deaths that in particular have made headlines, I think. The first one is this. A girl in Malaysia, at the start of the week, did a poll on Instagram with her followers, whoever her followers are. Do you know what she asked them? Should I die or should I live? Now, Instagram are currently denying this. But apparently the majority of people told her to die. So she did. She committed suicide. Then there was this one, wasn't there? Jeremy Kyle show. Depending on what newspaper you read, you might have read different things about this. But there was definitely a guy who committed suicide a week after filming one show. And the show's been taken off the air permanently. And then the other death, slightly different. Thoroughly natural circumstances. Freddie Starr. Controversial guy. I imagine he did a lot of things on his bucket list. When he was sober, anyway. But I just wonder, how would each of these lives have turned out differently if they'd listened to Jesus? If they'd discovered that Jesus loved them, that he'd given his life for them. I've been using this picture over and over at the back, in the background. Jesus assures us, he tells us the truth, the time is coming. When we have to make a choice. The time is limited. It's not like Instagram, no one else makes the choice for you. We're not all Freddie Starr. We don't all have celebrity lifestyles and spend all our days in the sunshine on the Spanish coast or whatever it is. But we will rise, and some of us will rise to experience judgment, and some of us will rise to experience eternal life. And it's our choice which one we're going to do. I'll just finish with these, with this. Just before Easter, the Jehovah's Witnesses did their door knocking and delivery of leaflets and things. And a couple of people talked about that to me afterwards. And they wanted advice, really, on how to respond to Jehovah's Witnesses. And to be honest, there's a million things that you could say. I admire their persistence and their tenacity when it comes to wanting to share their faith. What I can't admire is their theology. Although they seem like Christians because they wave their Bible around, the reason they're not Christians is because they miss what Jesus is saying quite clearly about himself here. Jesus says, or what Jesus says in calling himself in calling God his Father, in saying my Father's always working and so am I, the Jews instantly knew what that meant. They instantly knew that he was claiming to be equal with God. Either that's right or it's wrong. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is equal with God because they don't believe he's God, because they don't believe in the Trinity. That's fundamental to Christians, to what it means to be a Christian. Forgive me for the oversimplification, but the difference between true Christianity and false Christianity is Jesus God? And is the cross enough? And if either of those things are answered with no, then it's not Christianity. In terms of advice on how to respond, I thought I'd just share this with you. I found this website this week, mamabearapologetics.com, written by a group of women in the States who are all mums and who want to bring up their children to be strong Christians. And they're about to release a book, Mama Bear Apologetics, covering all the things that we are likely to hear from people in our day and age. Not complicated theological arguments, but basic issues of how you see the world. It's really, really good. So So I'd thoroughly recommend that if you've got an internet connection, to go to Mama Bear Apologetics and have a look at that. Really, really good stuff. And if you don't, then buy the book. So it's going to be about £13, it looks like, for Amazon when it comes out. But yeah, it's great. And really good, I think, too, if, like me, you've got kids and you want to bring them up as Christians.